Could we turn tonight to Revelation chapter 20, please? Revelation chapter 20. You know, this is one of the saddest chapters in God's Word. Every time when I turn to this chapter, Revelation chapter 20, we're starting to read at the verse 11. We're starting to talk about the great white throne judgment. I often look across the congregation in the church or in the mission hall that I'm preaching, and I often say to myself, Tommy, am I looking into the face of some person who will be at this great white throne judgment? You know, friend, there's a way of escape from this great white throne judgment, and it's through trusting Christ as your own and personal Savior. We're starting to read at the verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there were found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My text tonight is found over in Romans chapter 2, and it's the verse 16. I've been reading in the book of Joshua, and over these last couple of mornings, it's telling about how the people of God have disobeyed God and how judgment has called upon the people of God. And one of my other readings was this chapter, chapter 2 of Romans. And this verse 16 just hit me between the eyes. Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And we know the Lord will bless this reading from his own infallible word. With God's word open, could we ask him to bless the reading of his word? O God, our Father in heaven, we come into thy holy presence now. And Lord, I pray that you'll hide me behind the cross. May none be seen but Jesus only. Lord, as we come to thee, Lord, we thank thee for so great salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but hath everlasting life. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll help me now. I need your help, Lord. Lord, I pray for those that would tune in on Facebook and the internet, those in our meeting tonight that know you're not a Savior. Lord, I pray that you'll speak loudly to their hearts. And if they know you're not as Christ, that they'll come and trust thee as Savior. And Lord, come to thee tonight. For we ask it all in thy wonderful name. Amen. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. You know, friends, tonight the great scourge of the human race is not cancer. It's not crime. It's not even war. It's not even this pandemic that we have in our land today. The great scourge in our land is a thing called sin. Through the centuries, sin has claimed its victims by the millions. Yet people mock sin. No one can read the Bible very much without realizing that a great deal of attention is given to the subject of sin and its cause and cure. People often think that sin is in connection with crime or murder. But sin in the Bible refers to anything that is short of perfection. We read in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is therefore falling short of the mark, and all are guilty of this. Everyone can see the effects of sin in this world. Sin has brought wars. Sin has brought violence. Sin has brought family problems. Sin has brought sadness. But you know, we read in James 1 and the verse 15, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin is the problem and the root at all of people's troubles. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 states, the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Thus sin must be judged. You know, we read here, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. I see three things in this verse tonight. First of all, I see the certainty of judgment. I see the certainty of judgment in the day when God shall judge. Secondly, I see the nature of the judgment declared, the secrets of men. And then finally, I see the judge revealed. Who is the judge revealed? It's none other but the Lord Jesus Christ himself. First of all, we want to look at the certainty of judgment in the day when God shall judge. Here, the word of God gives a note of certainty. It doesn't say it may be judgment. It doesn't say it could be. It doesn't say sometime. It doesn't say it could be sometime. But it is a note of definite, the day when God shall judge. Why is judgment certain? Because of who and what God is. God is absolutely pure and sinless. He hates sin. He loves goodness. He must separate himself from the sinner and punish sin. The first instance of sin is described in the third chapter of Genesis. It took place in the Garden of Eden. And as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, they tried to hide from God. Adam and Eve had fellowship with God. They could walk with God. They could speak to God. They could have communication with him. But the minute they sinned, they hid from God. And they tried to hide their sin. Adam and Eve disobeyed. And they died spiritually. The very day God's judgment was certain. From that day, their bodies began to die. Sickness, aging, and then death. Hebrews 9:27 says, and it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. You know, brethren and sisters, there are many appointments that you and I miss. There's many appointments that we can't keep. But you know, there's two appointments that you and I will meet if the Lord doesn't come back again. We'll meet with death, and then we'll meet with the judgment. There's one appointment that I hate. I hate going to the dentist. I hate that wee needle when that buzzing goes. And you know, every time I would go and they would look and look at my teeth and they would say, Mr. Gilmore, you don't need any fillings. I say, hallelujah. I don't have to listen to that buzzing. But you know, friends, there's appointments that we have to keep. That appointment is with death and then judgment. There's a new pastor coming to a church in a town. And this young atheist found out that the new pastor was coming. And he said, I'm going to go and I'm going to test this young pastor. I'm going to sit and make a protest the first time he preaches. The pastor got up and he quoted this verse. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. The atheist said, this is my chance. He jumped to his feet. He says, prove it. Prove it that there's death after judgment after death. The preacher was taken by shock. And he says, friend, I don't have to prove it. The Bible says, and if the Bible says there's death, there's judgment after death. That young man left the meeting. He said, I've made my protest. And he went out happy as a Larry. But as he was walking home, as he's walking down by the river at the weir, it was as if the waters were saying, judgment, judgment, judgment. As he was walking past the railway station, it was as if the train was saying, judgment, judgment, judgment. When he got home that night, he sat down and he tried to make himself a cup of tea. But this kept coming into his mind, it's appointed unto man, but after this, the judgment. And he kept saying, the judgment, the judgment. All night, he didn't have a wink of sleep. He got up from his bed, and he said, in the morning, I'll have to go and speak to this pastor. He found out where the pastor lived. He went to the pastor, and he knocked the door, and the pastor said, I hope you're not coming to have an argument with me today. But you know, friends, it was a different young man, because the Spirit of God had been dealing with him all night. And he said, Pastor, I know now that there's death. And I know now there's judgment. And he said, all night I haven't been able to get a wink of sleep, because I know it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this is judgment. And Pastor, I don't know how to get peace in my heart. The pastor showed him how the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary, that he shed his precious blood on Calvary. And that young man, all he had to do is come and trust Christ as his Savior. It was a different young man that left. That young man realized that judgment was coming. Oh, friend, tonight in this meeting, judgment is certain. Judgment is certain. God will judge those that have rejected his Son. Judgment is certain. But you know, secondly, we read, in the day when God shall judge. And what is he going to judge? He's going to judge the secrets of men. The secrets of men. And here we see the nature of the judgment declared. The secrets of men. Revelation 20 and 12 says, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You know, friends, Adam's sinful nature was passed on to the human race. We heard about that this morning, how the human race have this awful sin in their life. Humanity has sinned against God in thought and word and deed. We heard how David could say in Psalm 51 that we're all shapen in iniquity and sin did our mothers conceive us. This sin nature is evidenced by evil, sinful thoughts and words and deeds, an attitude towards God. You know, you don't have to teach a child how to sin. I remember at Christmas time, I had two children at the time, David and Laura. And it was Christmas Day, and they had opened their presents, and they had opened a selection box. And I said to them, don't you take that selection box until you get your dinner. And of course, I went in to help to make the dinner. And when I came out, the selection box was open. And I said, who opened that selection box? And of course, the two wee and looked to me so humbly and said, it wasn't me, Daddy. It wasn't me, Daddy, with big chocolate marks around their mouth. You know, behold, your sin will find you out. The nature of judgment declared. You know, God will judge each man and woman who has not repented of their sin and has washed in the blood of the Lamb. I read that Revelation 20 to tell you a story of a preacher. The preacher was going to America to preach around America. He was sitting on the plane and he was reading his Bible. And this American businessman was sitting beside him. And he said to the preacher, "What business are you in?" The preacher said, "I'm a preacher of the gospel. I'm going around America to preach the gospel. I'm about to preach the word." He said to the preacher, "That's a beautiful book you have in your hand. It's a lovely back on that book. What is that book?" The preacher says, "That's my Bible. It's God's word." He says, "I've never had a Bible in my hand before. Can I see it?" And he said, "You certainly can." The preacher handed him the Bible. It was opened at Revelation 20. The man started to read down Revelation 20. And he said, "Sir, what is this great white throne? And who are all these people? It says the great, the small, are all standing before this man, this judge. What is this all about?" The preacher said, "Sir, the one in that great white throne is the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, and he is the judge." And he said, "These men and women, the great and the small," he says, "they are kings, they are queens, they are lords, they are ladies, they're down and outs, they're men and women, they're ordinary people." And he said, "Who are they?" The preacher said, "They are men and women who have rejected God's way of salvation. They're men and women who have sat in gospel meetings and listened to God's servants preaching and showing them that they needed to be saved. They are men and women who thought they could make their own way to heaven by their own good works." And he said, "These are they that are at this great white throne judgment." This man said, "Is there any escape from this?" The preacher says, "There certainly is." He says, he quoted that verse, what we've been talking about all day. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but hath everlasting life." And he said, "Sir, the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary. He took the sin of his people. He died on the cross. He shed his blood so that these people could have their sins dealt with. And you know, they can have their sins dealt with." That man looked at the preacher and he says, "Sir, can I have my sins dealt with?" The preacher said, "You certainly can." And up there, about 220,000 feet up in the air, the preacher had the joy of pointing that man to the Savior. He said, "You know, preacher, I would love a Bible." The preacher says, "Here, take mine." He says, "What are you going to do?" He says, "I'll get one when I get there." And you know, the preacher many months later got home, and his wife said, "There's a whole load of letters in the house for you, and there's one from America." He opened the one from America, and it was from this man, this businessman. And he says, "Preacher, I've good news for you." He says, "My family will not be at this great white throne judgment because I led them to Christ with your Bible." Oh, tell me, friend, tonight in this meeting, tell me, friend, in Facebook, will you be at this great white throne judgment? Am I looking into the face of someone who'll be at that great white throne judgment? Oh, friend, there's a way of escape. The nature of the judgment declared. You know, all the sins that you thought that was hid, all the sins that you thought that nobody would ever see again, all the sins that you've done in your life will be brought out. The Bible here says, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book of life. You know, one of the saddest verses we reread in this 20th chapter is the very last verse, and it says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Friend, tonight, as your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Do you know him as your Lord and as your Savior? There was a sailor one day, and it was one of these sailing ships. And him and his friend, he witnessed to his friend so many times. One was a Christian and the other one was not saved. He was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. And they were up and they were rolling up the sheets. And it was one of the sailing boats. And all of a sudden the boat hit a wave. And what the man who was an atheist lost his balance and went into the sea. And of course his friend shouted down, "Man overboard." And in those sailing ships, it took it so long to stop. The captain was starting to get dark, and the captain said, "Well, we'll send the long boat out, and we'll maybe be able to find him." They put the long boat out, and in those days, it was just a candle, really, and a little sort of thing to look for this man. As they were rowing about, they heard all of a sudden someone shouting. They looked and they saw it was the man. They pulled him into the boat and they got him into the boat. By this time his friend had come down from the rigging and he went down and he said, "Am I glad to see you?" He said, "What happened?" He said, "I lost my balance and I ended up in the end of the sea." And he said, "What did you do when you were in the sea?" He said, "I shot a prayer to heaven." His friend said, "You'd done what? You shot a prayer to..." He says, "You're an atheist, you don't believe in God." He says, "Huh?" He says, "When you're in a chilly water and you see a boat sailing away and you know you're going to be lost and you say in your head, maybe my friend is right, there is a God." And he said, "I just cried, oh God in heaven, if there is a God, save me." And you know, he saved me. And he said, "You know," he said, "I'm here." And he said, "I've given my life to the Lord." And you know, those two men were two of the greatest witnesses in those days, in those sailing boats. Oh, friend, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men, here we see the secrets of men. You know, you need to come and trust Christ as your own personal Savior. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, here we have the judge revealed. We have the judge revealed. Yes, God's judgment is sure, and the assurance of judgment is coming is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We read in Acts 17 and 31, "He hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead." How certain is judgment? It is certain as God's word, and God's word cannot be broken. We see from here, the person to be judged is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this judge will judge according to truth. This judge will judge with no falsehood. I remember sometimes being in court and seeing men coming up in front of the judge. And you know right away that they were guilty. Even the way they were speaking, they were guilty. But you know they were able to fool the judge and they were able to fool the court. And you know they got away with it. But friend, in this judgment day, in this great white throne judgment, it's the Lord Jesus Christ who will be the judge. His judgments are righteous judgments. His standards are perfect. He makes no mistakes. No one can claim unfairness of this judge. His judgment is according to truth. And there's one other thing. There's no appeal. Once the judgment is brought, there is no appeal. You know, the Bible says that God's judge is the Lord Jesus Christ will be the judge in those days. There was a lady one day and she received a summons from the police. Her friend, she knew she was guilty of the offense that she had done. She went to her friend, and her friend said, "You know, you need to get a good lawyer, and I know a good lawyer that can help you." So she took the name of the lawyer, and she put it in the drawer, and she forgot all about it. But you know, it came near the day of her court case, and she just remembered that she needed to go and see this lawyer to come and help her. She lifted it out and she went to see the lawyer. She went to the lawyer and she told the story how she had committed this offense, and her friend said that he would be a great lawyer to help her. The lawyer looked at her and he said, "Dear, if you had came 2 days before, I could have helped you." She says, "But I can't help you now." He says, "Because I am now the head judge in this county. And I have to tell you that I will be the judge at your summons." And you know, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ says the same to you tonight. Tonight, I can be your Savior. But you know, I can help you. I can help you. But tomorrow, I'll be your judge. Oh, friend, you need to come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. We read in 2 Peter 2 and 9, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." A friend of mine at Christmas gave me a little book on Robert Murray McShane. And I love reading Murray McShane. And Murray McShane made this comment about 2 Peter 2 and 9. He said, "There are only two classes of people in the world, the godly and the unjust. To one of these classes every one of us belongs. The godly are those who have been born again and who have been made partakers of the divine nature and live unto God. The unjust are those who are ungodly, who have never been born again, who live to themselves and to the world." He says in 2 Peter, it says that they are reserved unto the day of judgment to be punished. Oh, friends, McShane was right. There's only two people in this world, the righteous and the ungodly. There are only two deaths, the death of the righteous and the death of the ungodly. There's only one of two places that person will end up in, either heaven or in hell. I wonder tonight, which one are you? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? Have you trusted him? Have you come and asked him into your life to be your Savior? You know, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And Nicodemus knew all that there was about the Jewish religion. But Nicodemus, he knew there was something missing in his life. He knew all about it. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was high up in the Jewish religion. But I believe that this man had listened to the Savior preaching. He had seen how the Lord had raised the dead, how he had healed the sick. And the Bible said that he came to the Savior at night. Some people say that he came to the Savior at night because he didn't want to be seen. I don't believe that at all. I believe he came at night because he wanted a one-to-one with the Savior. Because remember, every day the Lord Jesus was about, the crowds thronged all around, and it was impossible to have a one-to-one. Nicodemus came to the Savior, and the Savior knew immediately what was in his heart. He said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." But Nicodemus was like every unsaved person. He said, "How can I be born again? Do I go into my mother's womb the second time to be born?" The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Nicodemus, are you not a ruler of the Jews? Do you not know that I'm not speaking about the physical birth? I'm speaking about the spiritual birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. O friend, tonight, the only way to escape this great white throne judgment is to be born again, is to ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, to trust him as your own and personal Savior. You can't get to heaven any other way. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't come any other way. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That is not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. I remember when I was leaving Sunday school, I was just 15 years of age. My Sunday school teacher, Davy Stewart, had five young men in his Sunday school class. The other four young men had all trusted the Savior except me. And I went to Mr. Stewart and I said, Mr. Stewart, I'm going to work tomorrow. I'm going to serve my time as an apprentice electrician. I'll not be back to church or back to Sunday school. I can see the tears in that old man's eyes. And he said to me, Tommy, if you leave tonight, this afternoon, my Sunday school, there'll be one of my Sunday school pupils will be lost. You know, friends, I was angry. I said, Mr. Stewart, I'm as good as any of yous. I've gone to the Sunday school. I've gone to children's meetings. I was in the Boys' Brigade. I went to the Boys' Brigade Bible class. I went to church. I'm as good as any of you. But that old godly man lifted God's word and he showed me all my righteousness are like filthy rags in the sight of a just God. And he said, Tommy, you can't work your way to heaven. He says, of one verse I want to leave with you. My spirit will not always strive with man. And he said, Tommy, I'm going to pray that the Lord, excuse me, will save you. I remember one Sunday night, walking up through the city hall, a young man at 18 years of age, and there was an open air in the front of the city hall. The men were coming forward and they were calling out gospel verses. And the verse that hit me between the eyes was, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And I remembered everything that Mr. Stewart told me. For that whole week, the Holy Spirit dealt with me. I was sitting in work and I couldn't go out. At lunchtime, we used to play football. I was the first one to get the ball to play football, but I just had no interest. And my other young men who were serving their time, you said to me, Tommy, what's wrong with you? There's something different about you. You know, the Holy Spirit was dealing with me. And on the next Sunday, I give my heart to the Lord Jesus as my Savior. Oh, friend, I want to say to you tonight, you need to come and trust the Lord as your own and personal Savior. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Oh, I pray that nobody that hears my voice tonight will ever be at that great white throne judgment. There's a way of escape tonight. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you. He died for you. He wants to save you. Maybe you're in this meeting tonight and you've grown cold. You once loved the Lord. You once used to work for the Lord. You walked with him day by day, but you've grown cold. Oh, he still loves you. Do you know what the Bible says? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I pray tonight that you might come back to the Savior and come to know him who to know his life eternal. Child of God, what a blessing it is to know that you and I will never, ever be at that great white throne judgment because our sins have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We talked about the blood of the Lamb this morning. Child of God, you should lift your thanks to the God of heaven that he sent his Son into this world to die for you. Oh, what a Savior that he died from me. From condemnation he has set me free. Whosoever will come to the Savior, he'll accept you tonight. I pray that you'll take this word to your heart tonight in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel.